Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Welcome back to yet another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is number 58 for the week of January 23rd, 2011. I am Mike Katsifrakis, and as you can tell, I am no longer saddled with a number of random diseases in varying degrees of severity. So hopefully this week we'll be back to normal. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing just grand.
Yeah?
Well,
are you pulling in some kind of crazed tropical disease or anything?
Just being cold.
Yeah, you know, we have a bit of that here,
it's
too.
It's freaking freezing. I think I saw on the Weather Channel it's supposed to be a low of 1 tonight.
Oh, so. Lucky you. I think our low is something like 15. So, you know, it's not so bad, but everyone down here complains about it.
At that point, but you know, between 15 and 1, what's the difference, really? It's freaking cold.
Yeah. Cold enough that I don't want to go outside.
Yep.
Yeah, so since we've obviously been staying indoors, I believe that means we've been playing lots of video games, so why don't you rattle some of those off?
Yeah, the first thing I've been playing, we got a review copy in of Two Worlds 2 on Xbox 360. So that's been the majority of my gaming time since Friday night.
Yeah.
And let me preface by saying the first Two Worlds is a game I lasted an hour in before I said this is garbage and literally just returned it or traded it in immediately, or I don't remember how I acquired it, but it really was one of the worst games I've ever played.
Excellent.
So I guess expectations going into Two Worlds 2 were kind of low. You know, I mean, they've been saying that, you know, they knew Two Worlds 1 was bad and that they had made all these improvements and stuff, but it's pretty good. I mean, it really is. It's a very, very deep action RPG. It's very European. You know, if you've played like Gothic or any of those other kind of open world, it's similar in a lot of those ways, but like I said, it's very deep and customizable. Every object in the game, like every piece of loot you pick up, you can break down into components, which you can use to upgrade and tweak and whatever else your other components, you know, your swords and shields, your armor, any of those kind of things. There's a ridiculously deep alchemy system. Like, basically the way it works is you have a cauldron that has 6 slots in it, and you can put up to as many plants and pieces of animals and random things into one of those slots, and then combine them together to make some kind of potion. And as you discover and create these potions with the, you know, with the effects, you can save those as like a as a saved what's the word, recipe. So, I mean, there's...
Is it as interesting hundreds. As what was in The Witcher?
It's deeper than that.
Really?
There's... I mean, there's so many ingredients that... I'm not lying when I say, you know, I'm maybe 15 hours in the game that I've seen at least 100 different ingredients so far.
Huh.
And, you know, each one, depending on what it is, has various levels of effectiveness. You can... You know, like, maybe one ingredient lets you add, like, a minute to its effect time. Another one might be, you know, plus 20% that, plus 20% this, minus 20% to that, and, you know, plus 50% to this. Like, it's a whole big balancing act. And like I said, with the 6 spots, like, it just seems like there's so many you can create. So, yeah, that's alchemy. And then the spell system is just as deep. The spell system... You have, like, cards is what you pick up, basically, for the spells. And so you might have, like, a fire effect. And then you might have a missile card. And so when you put those two into the deck, you know, you have a flaming missile. But then you might also pick up, like, a ricochet card, which you can stack, which means it'll, you know, cast a fire thing, and then it ricochets off its first target. Then you might pick up another ricochet card, and you can stack that on the existing ricochet, so it does 2 ricochets. then maybe you pick up an area effect. So, and then like it chains it. So then it might do flaming missile, ricochet, ricochet, hit the next target for an area flaming effect. It's just ridiculous. Like, and again, you can tweak these up and save those configurations as much as you want.
So it's kind of like a more in-depth form of the spell creation in Oblivion?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So, and then above and beyond all of that, I think the thing, though, I like the most is, like, you don't have to pick, like, a path for your character. Like, you don't have to be a warrior, or you don't have to be a mage or an archer. Like, you can upgrade any of those things, and you can, like, on the Xbox 360, the D-pad maps to armor sets and weapon sets. So you just, you know, my up is my mage weapon configuration, my left is my warrior, my right is my my archer one. And so I can just quickly switch between any of those on the fly and do whatever I want depending on the situation. Talking enough about it, but it's really, like I said, really deep. It's got to be a huge game. I'm like 15 hours in. I didn't even see the end of chapter one yet. And there's, I'm guessing three, maybe four chapters based on the achievements. There's definitely three. I don't know if the third one is the end game achievement, or if there's another chapter and then the end game achievement. So there could be four.
So have you gotten
the co-op? I haven't had any luck. No, I haven't been able to find anybody online to play with. There are people playing online from the European version, which came out at the end of last year. But they're all too far ahead in levels that I can't join them. I did. You can start the co-op mission by yourself. So there's seven or eight chapters in that, and you can start that by yourself, and people can drop in and drop out. And your character is persistent, and it saves the stats and stuff. And so I started that first mission, hoping that maybe some of the other reviewers would join, and no such luck. So I put out a couple emails to some folks that I know have it, and we'll hopefully be able to play the next couple days. There's no way I'm going to be able to review it in time for release day. It's much, much bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, played a little bit of WoW. Haven't had much time because I've been working on some other projects and some other stuff. So I think maybe really the only playtime I've had was that the other night when we did the dual man dungeon run there.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fun. What else? Played a little bit of Mindjack. Got a copy of that in. I know Andrew's reviewing that for the site.
And is it as much like Messiah as I think it is?
It's really fast paced. It's a lot more fast paced than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I played Messiah, but it plays a lot like a team based shooter that has
right.
Like, basically, there's big, long sections of levels that end up being, like, the map. And then people drop in and drop out of that. And, like, you know, you'll see them floating around being enemies and stuff like that. And scoring kind of happens. And then when you get to the end of it, there's usually some kind of cutscene that kind of progresses the story. But it was pretty fun. I've only played, like, a little over an hour. But it was pretty fun. I haven't read any reviews or anything on that, so I'm kind of curious how the game is as a whole, because it was pretty fun.
Well, you know what else uses that, possession of NPC gameplay? It also comes, I believe, from the same publisher as the new Parasite Eve game.
Right, the
Third Birthday.
It's gonna
do that same thing. Square did publish this one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mindjack?
Yep.
Yeah, interesting.
And then finally, I picked up Deathspank on the EA sale on Xbox Live. And
yeah.
Started playing a bit through that because everybody said how good it was, and it's pretty fun.
It's okay.
I think my problem with it, and this was the problem I had with the demo originally, remember, was I have a hard time differentiating a lot of the characters in the game off of the backgrounds. Like,
yeah.
the guys blend in really well.
The art style's a little too busy,
yeah.
And the problem I really had with it is that there's no real, like, you can defend, but there's a little too much focus on timing when you're defending,
mm-hmm.
You're most of the time you're surrounded by enemies that are a lot stronger than you, especially because it's easy to get into areas that are too high level for you. So you'll eat a bunch of really cheap deaths.
Mm-hmm.
At least I did. Like, the game is not a difficult game by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you, by the time you actually get to the end of the game, you're going to be, you know, so powerful that you're, you know, hitting, killing everything in one hit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like me and you go for the max level achievement, there no one hurts you at all because everything is lower level.
Right.
But, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm not supposed to go there because this guy killed me in one hit. Okay, I guess I won't go there. It's so, you know, you have kind of freedom to wander around, but the game says freedom ain't free, mother hits you over the head with a cheap death. So, yeah, is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. Like you, I played some WoW, but that's neither here nor there because I also played a little bit of Super Mario All-Stars. So most of it was actually watching my wife and telling her where all the secrets are in Mario 1 and 3 and feeling really bad that I still remember all that stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing how that stuff sticks with you.
It's like I've forgotten math, but I, you know, remember, you know, where all the hidden mushrooms and pipes you can go down are in all these Mario games. And because I almost felt bad that I haven't played my Wii lately, I fired up the WiiWare version of Phoenix Wright and played through a bit of that, but hasn't really been too much going on as far as gaming for me lately. So let's move on and talk about this week's news. And we'll start off by announcing that not only has hell frozen over, but the devil invited everyone down for, you know, a Super Bowl party. Because Duke Nukem Forever not only exists, not only has been resurrected, but it has an honest-to-God release date.
From the publisher.
From the publisher. Which means, you know, yeah, it might actually come out. And that date is May 3rd, 2011. And May 6th if you are unlucky and live anywhere but North America. But, you know, what's 3 days compared to 14 years, right? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
We're still not sure if it actually has co-op. I'm hoping it will because, you know, Duke Nukem 3D certainly did. But it would be nice to have it again. Although I guess it would be understandable that, you know, some things may have been cut to actually get this out the door. Because, you know, it seems like they had, you know, just, what, under a year or so to get this wrapped up?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I hope it's not a situation where we get something like Duke Match, which no one will stick with, and they axe co-op in favor of it. But, you know, Gearbox is really good to co-op gamers, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe they'll announce... Well, they announced the resurgence of the game at PAX. Maybe they'll announce some new features at PAX East.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. And we'll be there, so we'd be able to find out. Moving on. Well, the Rock Band Network is ending on the Wii. And, well, I can't imagine that that did too well on the Wii because...
It's ending.
The Wii is really hard to buy things on. I don't know if you've noticed, but that store kind of blows. you know, they have... So it's just... Nintendo has such a bad payment scheme, and I don't really think that the people who are playing Rock Band games on the Wii are actually the same type of people that would be downloading a bunch of tracks every week.
Yeah.
So, that's sad, but, you know... You know, it's life. You know, we have to move on. And let's talk about this, one of the most interesting stories of this week. A few days ago, we had a reported about a World of StarCraft mod that a community member had cooked up for StarCraft using the mod tools. And everyone said, oh, how long is it going to take before this goes down? And, well, it took, what, a day?
Yeah,
2 days?
Yeah, it was like that night the video got pulled.
And Activision Blizzard's lawyers layeth the smackdown on the mod project. And, you know, kind of talked about how you're not supposed to infringe on intellectual property and whatnot. And the author of the mod had a pretty choice quote when he said, implying Activision Blizzard, created a tool that allowed us to do anything with your assets. You encouraged us to use your assets and were eager to see what we might come up with. You had to have seen this coming. And, you know, come on. Everyone knew that, everyone I knew that was going to start doing StarCraft 2 mod development was talking about, you know, maybe we can make World of StarCraft or something.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, it bounced around for a while, and then we got an update saying that Riot Games, the League of Legends developer, contacted the modder and offered him a job interview because, you know, he's obviously able to modify a Blizzard game, which is how all of those guys got jobs. So that was neat. And then Blizzard updated and said, hey, you know, we just, you know, talking about the name because, hey, we make StarCraft. And extended a hand and offered to fly the modder out and talk to the developers. And then puppies and rainbows were given out, and everyone eats candy now. It's amazing. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Well, I think I saw a little blurb. It might have been on Kotaku, a joystick. With the guy and how overwhelmed he was and stuff, and he said that the mod is going forward, and it was actually he named the other modder that is going to be involved with helping him on it. It's going to be called StarCraft Universe, was the Blizzard approved name.
Interesting.
So yeah, and he said that, like, you know, he was, I guess he's a college student in a game design college or something like that, I think is what I remember seeing. But he said he didn't even have, like, a resume together or anything like that, so he wasn't sure. You know, he wasn't quite ready for an interview or anything like that with Riot Games or something like that, so.
Yes, well, you know, when life hands you an opportunity, you don't make excuses.
Exactly.
You grab that bull by the horns. So let's move on and talk about how a Left 4 Dead 1 patch on the 360 restored the achievements to working status. That's pretty amazing. Let's see. Do you know what the specific achievements were? The zombie genocidist?
That achievement was broken, per se. It was that when the patch went through for that...
That's right.
It reset the stat counters for a lot of them. So some people... I even saw somebody on our forums post they had lost, like, 40,000 zombie kills, which, it's 63,000 or whatever the number is for that. So, but there was... I think there was two achievements actually in the Sacrifice DLC that were unobtainable because of a glitch, and that's what this fixed.
Excellent. Well, you know, if you're an achievement whore and you really need to get those achievements, you are welcome to attempt to do so once more. And here's some more Activision shenanigans. They are frustrated with too many cheaters in Black Ops on the PS3. And, well, you say, wait a minute, Mike. Black Ops cheaters are rampant on all systems. I will counter and say, but wait. PS3 was recently compromised, so you can actually load, you know, like, trainers and real cheats on the PS3, which is kind of a big thing. And I think, you know, with the PS3 hacking, you're probably gonna see a lot more of things like this happen, because that hack was crazy.
Yeah,
like that system is as open as a PSP now.
Yeah, and it's like I said, I'm under NDA for a lot of stuff with it because I've done some work dealing with PSN, but I can say that I've seen a lot of the PSN stuff from a web perspective, and it's pretty in depth, the protection and stuff they use for authenticating logins, and that's supposed to carry over in some sense to the PS3 how it works, but apparently the copy protection was literally like. You know,
they found the private keys just sitting there on the system or something.
It's pretty ridiculous, but I had seen another story then posted. This is sort of related to it in that one of the ways Sony's going to try and combat the piracy, because basically there's no way to fix this, I guess, because if they change the keys or whatever moving forward, I guess it breaks everything moving, you know, from before.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
They removed PS2 backwards compatibility. They can remove PS3 compatibility as well.
I guess what they're going to do, though, is have serial numbers on games that you have to enter to play it. And that's how they're going to get rid of, you know, basically go to, you know, what you see on PCs.
Because you know how that stopped piracy.
I was just going to say, of course, we know how well that works on PCs with key gens and everything else.
So. I'm going to say, now I can just run some unsigned key gen code and, you know, pop in a burned copy of whatever game I want, and once again, the legitimate consumer gets screwed.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Sony. Your engineering prowess never fails to amaze.
But the big thing with this whole story was that I guess some blogger had talked to someone at Activision, and basically the quote they got back from them was that they're running out of ideas short of shutting the servers down. And of course that snowballed into, oh my god, Activision's going to shut down the Call of Duty Black Ops servers. And
yeah, they're not going to do that.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on and talk about rumors, because we love rumors here at Co-Optimus. And someone spotted a graphic called, you know, with a new Gears of War title. And it's called Gears of War Exile. And, well, I believe it was at the VGAs, there was supposed to be an announcement of something Gears related, and they pulled it.
Yeah.
Could this be it? I don't know. But I do like I do like Andrew's guess as to what this is. A cinema noir feel Gears of War game where Marcus and Dom wear fedoras and trench coats while smoking and calling women dames. It would be pretty awesome, but
it would be.
I think Dom is going to be too busy crying and wearing his, you know, strike beard in Gears of War 3 for something like this to happen, but you never know. Maybe it's a prequel. Maybe we'll get to learn more about Marcus's daddy.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, Epic will just man up and admit that Dom is really just Evil Bender. You know? Because he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes. So yeah, you know, let's think about what Gears of War Exile might be for the next few seconds while I bring up our next story. About the Nintendo 3DS. We finally have launch details and a price. And it's going to set you back 250 bones in the US. And if you live in the UK or Europe, it looks like it's going to be... Well, the UK price is £230, which that's a lot more than $250. Yes. But you know, Europeans should probably be used to this by now, considering this is what prices have been like since the 16-bit era, at least. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of a European system or game costing less than an American one. But hey. At least you're not Australia, because they have it even worse than you.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are going to be a blue and a black version available at launch. And it looks like there's almost no Nintendo first-party stuff outside of Nintendogs launching with it.
Yeah.
There's some stuff preloaded on it that are mostly tech demos, but hope you like Nintendogs and cats. Because the cats don't deserve Nintendo cats. They're Nintendogs. Oh, and there's cats in this game, too. And rounding out the co-op for it, there is a Dead or Alive game and the Resident Evil Mercenaries mode, which you may remember as a DLC mode from RE5, is going to cost you full price because, you know, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then there's also, I had sent you that link for a Contra game, but
yeah,
Konami actually hasn't announced that. Like, I haven't seen any official announcement from them other than the retail listing. So
So maybe there might be a Contra game, but, you know, that is one for the rumor bin. Maybe that will be the film noir.
Ooh.
And, yeah, that would actually be pretty awesome. You know, a nice black and white Contra game, you know, slow-paced with vignetting and film grain. You know, maybe a smooth jazz soundtrack.
I could dig it.
I could dig it, too. I think I'm going to petition Konami for it. I actually hang out on a forum where a Konami producer hangs out, so maybe I'll pitch it to him.
There we go.
Yes. This is some of the coolest news I've ever seen, although it almost makes me a bit cynical as to why they're doing it. But Portal 2, if you buy the PS3 version, not only is it cross-platform playable with the PC version, you get the PC version for free with it, which is really neat and a great value. So, you know, most of us are probably going to end up getting the PS3 version just so we can, A, test out the cross-platform play, and B, hell, you know, one will give us trophies and the other one will give us Steam achievements.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty cool. But, you know, it's kind of a... I feel they're doing this almost to stick it to Microsoft, saying, hey, remember when we made fun of the PS3 so much, and now Sony is letting us put Steam on the PS3, and they're our new best friends now? Hey, Microsoft, maybe you want to change Xbox Live? I don't know. But, I think gamers win in the end, and free stuff is always going to be awesome. Although, I imagine if you sell your PS3 copy, the new recipient of your game will not be getting a PS or a PC copy of Portal 2.
Yeah, I mean, what they basically said is, you know, it links your account when your PS3 copy fires up and stuff. It links your account, your Steam
account.
Probably
a code in the box or something.
Well, it's not even. I don't even think it's gonna be a code in a box. I think you're literally gonna be signing into Steam through the PS3 copy, and that registers that you own Portal 2. And just like, you know, the Valve's other games, like if you bring it up on the Mac or any other platform, you can play it. So, they're basically solving the problem that, like, we've all said needs to be solved in that. Like, why should you buy a game twice just to play it on two different systems or whatever? It's like, you own it once, you should be able to have access to that anywhere. So, and that's what Valve believes, so...
Well, Valve has, you know, given away, you know, there was a while back they actually gave Portal away for free on Steam.
Yeah.
As a deal. Because, you know, if there's no code in the box to actually say, yeah, this person has redeemed it, you know, someone can throw their PS3 disc around and give a bunch of people free Steam copies. But, you know, that might work out for really great marketing for Valve. So who knows? They tend to be free and loose and just a little bit on the edge with what they do. But, you know, Portal 2 will probably be quite amazing.
You know, what'll be interesting, actually, now that you bring that up, is I wonder if Valve's going to almost make it so that that copy's not trade-in-able or resellable, because, you know, you can't resell your Steam copy. So if that, you know, that PS3 copy of Portal 2 is linked to your Steam account, I wonder if it's somehow permanently linked.
I very sincerely doubt that. But, you know, stranger things have happened in the name of DRM. But yeah. I think I'm going to give Valve a little bit of credit here and say they'll probably, at worst, it'll be a one-time use code to get the to hook it up to your Steam account. So here's a fun story. 6 of the 10 best-selling games of 2010 in the U.S., I should say, contained co-op. And those 6 games were Black Ops, Madden 11, Halo Reach, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, Red Dead Redemption, and Modern Warfare 2. How cool is that?
It's so cool.
And
very cool.
Yeah, and rounding out the other 4 are Wii Fit Plus, Just Dance 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which probably would have been awesome with co-op, and NBA 2K11. Neat. So yeah, co-op helps sell games, at least in part.
I think if I remember correctly, last year it was four games of the 10. Okay, I remember doing a story on it. So
yeah,
up to this year.
And let's end the news with a bit of a... It's almost a depressing story, but it's lighthearted and fun in the end. Some of our favorite developers are Twisted Pixel because they like putting co-op in their games, and their games are funny, and they're cool guys. And Capcom released a game called Maxplosion, which is basically Splosion Man on the iPhone, down to a fiery-looking character running around in a laboratory setting with scientists. And you can, stop me if you heard this one before, you can splode up to 3 times to bounce off walls and stuff and solve environmental puzzles. Does that sound a little familiar to you, Nick?
I think I've played that one before.
Yeah, and if it sounds a little familiar, it's because that is Splosion Man, down to everything. And Twisted Pixel released a wonderful little statement regarding this, saying that they're not going to pursue legal action. Well, I think the similarities are pretty nauseating. We're too small to take on a company like Capcom. That, and we owe them one for inventing Mega Man, so we'll let them slide. Which, you know, is pretty nice. And then Capcom released a more corporate statement that says they're disappointed about a lot of stuff and mostly probably getting caught. So, yeah. But hey, Twisted Pixel's awesome, and everyone should buy Splosion Man and make it sell 20 times as much as Maxplosion. So, yeah. I think that rounds out our news for today. So, as has become an annual tradition, I believe now we're going to go over the upcoming games of 2011, and Nick was kind enough to put together a feature containing all of this information. So, Nick, do you want to run us through this?
Yeah, I could go through the list.
All right.
And actually, the first two games on the list have been released already. They were released last week on the 18th, and that was Little Big Planet 2 on the PS3. Which had 4-player offline and online co-op, or a mix thereof. And I was actually, this was one that I reviewed, and I was pretty surprised that they really ingrained the co-op into the game now, and at any time you can join other players playing any of the single-player levels in co-op, and you can see how many people are playing that level on the Little Big Planet map and stuff. So it's a pretty good one. You can definitely check out the review on the site.
I might actually end up getting this one because you said it fixed a lot of the issues that I had with the first one, namely that for a platformer it had awfully crappy jumping physics and the
the
3D-ness was confusing.
Yeah, I mean the jumping's not so much of an issue because there's not a ton of platforming anymore. I mean, there's definitely, you know, probably half the levels are platforming, but the other half are a good mix of mini games and different kinds of things, and there's a lot of other ways to traverse the levels now with the grabber and the grappling hook, and you're on lots of vehicles and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
The other one was Mindjack, came out on the 18th as well, and that has 3-player online co-op, and that's the one we were talking about earlier in the show. Basically, people can inhabit your game world, and they can take control of any of the AI characters and actually robots and stuff in the game and help you out through the story. Coming up this week on the 25th, we have Two Worlds 2, which, again, we were talking about earlier in the show as well. That's a PC, PS3, and 360 title. And that has an 8-player online co-op mode. And it's actually a prequel to the single-player story. It bridges the gap between Two Worlds 1 and Two Worlds 2. So hopefully, maybe this week we'll have a review of that. Most likely it's going to be next week. Up next, we have Lord of Arcana on the PlayStation Portable. This is out on January 25th, and it's a 3-player co-op title. I believe it's like a Monster Hunter-type game, and I think it's published by... Is this Square Enix? I think it's Square. I have to look. Yes. Square Enix. So it's Square Enix's answer to Monster Hunter.
Excellent.
I don't know. It looks kind of cool. I'm going to skip the next one because I did confirm that we still don't have a solid release date on Radiant Silver Gun. But it is coming out this year sometime, this spring. That was announced last year at Tokyo Game Show. And that was the Xbox Live Arcade version of the Saturn Classic. Bionic Commando Rearm 2. That hits Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network on February 2nd. And that'll have two-player offline co-op. And that's the one that adds the jumping.
Blasphemy. But it added mustaches, which is kind of cool, too.
Indeed.
His mustache is amazing. I saw someone, I think it was somewhere in my Twitter feed, someone said that they should use Kinect and have it, you know, give you achievements for the quality of your own mustache. Because that would be kind of amazing.
Game. Moving on, and this was this one's almost impossible to believe, but Killzone 3. Yes, it has co-op. Yes, it's finally confirmed, but it is only two-player couch co-op.
Great.
It's through the campaign, though, so I don't know. Good. I mean, it should have had online as well, but hey, at least it finally has co-op.
Yeah, maybe it won't outstay its welcome this time.
No. And that is out February 22nd. Also out February 22nd is Bulletstorm. That's for 360, PlayStation 3, and PC.
Game of the year.
And this is the kind of over-the-top, ridiculous shooter where you get points for doing brutal things to the enemies. It has a four-player online co-op mode called Anarchy, and it's basically it's a horde mode kind of a thing, but excuse me. But it has these moves that you can do together in co-op to get higher score multipliers and stuff like that. So, looking forward to that one, faux show. Hunted the Demon's Forge. This is a spring title. I don't think it has a solid release date yet, but it's a 360, PlayStation 3, and PC title. And it's the one from In Exile Entertainment that has a two-player co-op online where you can take control of the ranged girl or the melee guy. I know.
And I'm actually really looking forward to this one, too, because it's Gears of War with magic and swords, which is way cool.
Yeah, you know, Jason and I had played it at E3 last year, and it was actually better than we thought it would be. You know, that's... By the time this is released, it'll be almost a year from that, and I think they'll really have tightened it up, and it should be pretty solid. The Conduit 2, they changed the release date from the time they released this article. We had it as March 1st. I believe it's March 23rd now. And it has a four-player offline co-op mode. Again, it's a survival-based mode on the Wii. The Conduit was a pretty well-reviewed first-person shooter on the Wii. It was one of the few that people said, you know, they kind of got the motion control thing right, so...
Yeah, first-person shooters on the Wii usually, if they almost kind of get the controls right, they review really well, because the ones that don't are so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on, and this is a game, actually, that we'll be posting a preview of this week, hopefully tomorrow. The First Templar. That's for the PC and 360. It has two-player offline co-op and two-player online co-op. This is a historical game, quote-unquote, where you take control of a Templar knight and his female companion on a quest through the Crusades. Features drop-in and drop-out co-op, like I said, both local or online. Like I said, I've actually been playing the PC preview build. And it's actually pretty good. It's I don't know if you ever, you know, preview builds are always kind of quirky to get a good feel in the game, because a lot of times they're missing things. Like, this is missing the voice acting. So you have...
I recall our experience with the preview build of Sacred 2 on PC was...
right, yeah.
But illuminating.
Yeah, so this is missing the voice acting, but from what I can tell, it seems to have a pretty good sense of humor in the game, actually. It's a pretty kind of lighthearted thing, and the characters seem pretty interesting.
Because the Crusades are, you know, lighthearted.
It's well, you know, the combat in it is really satisfying. It's kind of God of War-ish, but a little bit slower. And actually, the skill system is almost a direct ripoff of Dante's Inferno. Like, it's got the big cross thing, and you pick the bubbles to unlock skills and stuff. But there's actual, like, co-op moves you can do where, like, one player can hold the other, and then somebody can come in and finish them off and stuff. So that's pretty good. Moving on, we have The Dishwasher, Vampire Smile. That's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade this spring. That's the sequel to Dishwasher Dead Samurai. And it's going to have two-player offline co-op and two-player online co-op. We still don't have details as to what mode it is. The original one had, like, specific co-op levels. But I believe the story of this one involves the original Dishwasher's sister, so I think it's gonna have it through the campaign. Magicka is a game we had an interview about a couple weeks ago. It's a PC title right now, but I know there's rumors that it's coming to Xbox Live Arcade and PSN. At least the publisher's trying to get it that way. It's a four-player offline or online co-op title. And this is all about combining, like, elemental magic types in this kind of isometric RPG. Moving on, we have God Eater Burst. It's four-player offline co-op or four-player online co-op. I guess offline co-op makes no sense for this. I don't know why it says that, because it's a PSP title. Game boasts mission-based campaign mode consisting of 100... or so unique co-op missions. I really don't know much about this title. Do you?
No.
I'll be honest.
I'm pretty sure this is another Monster Hunter clone.
Yeah.
Which would be great. I want someone to make a Monster Hunter clone that doesn't control, like, the original Tomb Raider. Because, you know, the Monster Hunter games are basically, whenever you hit a button, whatever animation that triggers has to play out in its entirety before you can input another move. And my God, in the modern age of gaming, that is horrifying. You know, it's not like Bushido yeah. Blade where you're trying to go for realism or anything. It's a freaking game where you swing claymores and hit dinosaurs. You know, would being able to interrupt me or cancel out of a move be too much to ask? Apparently so. That's why I stick to WoW for my MMO type games.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, sorry, soapbox.
That's okay. That's all right. March 10th, 2011 sees the next Dawn of War 2 expansion pack, which is actually a standalone title. And that's Dawn of War 2 Retribution. It hits the PC with a two-player online co-op, and that'll be through the entire campaign, or campaigns, I should say. The game's going to have five or six single-player campaigns for each faction in the game. So looking forward to that.
I can't wait to test drive this bad boy.
And then shortly after that, also another RTS on the PC, Total War Shogun 2, is out, and that's going to have two-player online co-op through the whole campaign. Each player is going to get their own family in it and basically form an alliance. You have your own tech trees and stuff and can kind of work together through that. Tally, I know, got to play that at a preview event and was really impressed, so looking forward to that. March 22nd, 2011, sees The Blob 2 on the Wii, PS3, and 360. Previous game was a Wii-only title, so now they're kind of expanding to all three platforms. It's going to have two-player co-op. Basically, it's BYOB co-op. Look it up if you don't know what that means.
It doesn't mean anything good.
So, basically, it's the equivalent of Super Mario Galaxy's co-op mode. But it's the videos they've been putting out for it have had a lot of character to them. They've looked really, really good. So, it'll be a good family title. March 25th. 2011, Dynasty Warriors 7 on 360 and PS3 will have two-player online co-op. This is the first Dynasty Warriors game in a long time that actually graphically looks decent. They completely revamped the engine and stuff, and
they couldn't reuse that PS2 engine anymore.
Yeah, they drove that thing to the ground. Yes. But don't worry, that doesn't mean you can't play the Yellow Turban Rebellion. The Yellow Turban Rebellion is back, and it's in there. It just has never looked better.
I bet it has not looked better, and I bet Lu Bu is even scarier in high definition.
Let's see, what else? March 29th. Man, March is a jam-packed month for co-op games. Darkspore hits the PC, and that's a four-player online co-op title. That's the one that utilizes... It's basically like a Diablo kind of game, but you create your spore creature, and the things you pick up aren't like swords and armor and stuff. It's like arms and different kinds of heads and different appendages for your body that you can customize it with.
So I am not sure what to make of that game. It sounds like it might be kind of amazing, or it might be horrible.
Yeah, it has a potential. I'm hoping it's at PAX East. We do have there's an Electronic Arts preview event in New York City in early February, which I'm hoping to attend, where it's going to be at. So we should have some preview footage of that, hopefully. Let's see, what else? Also this spring, Slam Bolt Scrappers on PlayStation Network. New date on that, but they're going to have four-player online co-op. Basically, this is kind of that puzzle action-y game. It combines a bunch of things. It's like Tower Defense and Tetris and Smash Brothers all combined. It's pretty crazy. I know they're kind of wrapping that up there, and hopefully that'll be out this spring.
Hopefully. Because I know I want to play Tower Defense and Tetris at the same time.
I had played it at PAX Prime, the last PAX Prime I was at, which was, you know, like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And the one thing I had taken, like, I know it was some of the Colony of Gamers guys really liked it, but I was like, there was just too much going on the screen. Like, it was really hectic.
You know, I think it came out last year on DS, but the game Knights in the Nightmare was another, like, really absurd genre mashup. It was a turn-based strategy RPG mashed up with a bullet hell shooter, and the cursor you used the stylus to control this cursor, and while you're inputting commands and stuff, you have to dodge bullets with your cursor.
Oh god,
it was like it was a really cool game, but at some point I was just like, you know what, I am done with this.
Yeah.
So, genre mashups, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Hopefully this one is the former.
Let's keep moving on. Spring is still looking jam-packed. On April 18th, Portal 2 hits 360, PC, and PS3. It's going to have a two-player co-op campaign with, you know, specific puzzles for two players to work together with their blue and orange portals. April 30th, 2011, PlayStation Move Heroes has two-player offline and two-player online co-op. This is the one that uses a lot of the famous PlayStation franchise characters together through one game.
Does it have Polygon Man?
I don't think so. I think it's like Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank. And
what about that chick with the whip from Jax, maybe? Toshinden?
Don't know.
Just trying to think of iconic PlayStation characters.
Let's see. Moving on. Torchlight 2 is this spring as well on the PC. That's going to have at the least four-player online co-op. The numbers haven't been committed to. I know Runica said that they've done up to six or seven. So that's the sequel to last year's. I guess it was it last year or the year before it was Torchlight.
I think it was early last year, but I could be wrong.
And that was it's a Diablo kind of isometric action RPG. Other games this spring, Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime, that's the downloadable title on Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, and PC, four-player online co-op. Ghostbusters co-op, it's actually a top-down shooter. Looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Yeah, another one this spring... Dungeons and Dragons Daggerdale, two-player offline co-op, mixed match with four-player online co-op, PC, PSN, Xbox Live Arcade. It's Dungeons and Dragons action RPG. I don't know which more do you want, what more you want to say about it. Hasn't been too much out there, but obviously has a lot of potential.
I don't know. It could be cool, but there's also that Neverwinter game.
Yeah,
that's coming at some point, and
yeah,
you know, which D&D variant am I looking forward to more? Well, we don't know much about either of them, so
yeah, it's too early to tell.
Can't really say.
May 20th, 2011, though, Fear 3 for the 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. Two-player online co-op. You'll take either Point Man or Fettle, each character. Fettle is like your sci-fi character. You can inhabit other bodies and stuff, and Point Man's kind of your traditional first-person shooter thing. Should be pretty
good. I like to throw around that phrase, divergent co-op.
Yeah, which is, I don't know, sounds stupid. If you ask me, it's stupid to tag it anything else but what it is. And I think it was Joystick that brought up the, you know, the one problem with the game is going to be, like, nobody's going to want to play Point Man. They just want to do all the cool stuff with Fettle, so...
Yeah.
Though, I gotta say, like, I think both Jason and I agreed that that was the best-looking co-op game of E3 last year. So, we'll see. Moving on now, we're getting into summer. You can see the first half of the year is jam-packed. But we got some good titles lined up in the summer. It looks like Operation Flashpoint Red River, four-player online co-op that's on the 360, PC, and PS3. Just know it's going to be campaign co-op. That's about it. Still kind of early. Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon comes out on 360
yes.
and PS3. Again, early summer. Two-player offline co-op and up to six-player online co-op in a survival mode. I think they said the campaign is three-player co-op. So looking forward to that. And, you know, we've been posting some videos and stuff of this, and the game looks a lot better than it has the right to. It is graphically... like leaps and bounds ahead of the last one, so hopefully
that was kind of the PS2 game.
Yeah, that was kind of the charm of the last one. So hopefully it doesn't ruin it.
I still want to be able to punt spiders to the moon with a shotgun. If I can't do that, this game has failed.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Men of War Vietnam for the PC. This is a RTS slash. I thought it was a first-person shooter hybrid, but I actually played the beta. And basically what it is you can control guys in, like, an RTS mode, but you can also take control of an individual guy, and then you can, like, your cursor becomes, like, the target for his gun, and then you can kind of, like, aim and shoot and move him, too. So it still keeps that RTS view locked, but you have direct control over units as well, instead of just, like, saying, like, click, go here.
That seems like it's just barely an extension of clicking an individual unit in any other RTS.
I mean, it gives you a little bit more control if you get frustrated with what your guys are doing. I found, you know, if you put your guys in cover and you're shooting at something and some guys come over from another direction, it's kind of easier to just take control of one of your guys and have them cover another direction or something. But
is it really different than something like Company of Heroes or the first Dawn of War?
No, it feels a lot like that. Yeah.
Okay, I just, next, you know, another, call it like I see it.
Yeah, you got another Templar game going, and this time it's from Atlas, and it's called The Cursed Crusade, and it's on 360, PS3, and PC, and it's two-player offline or two-player online co-op. It looks like it's through the whole story, but the game actually has a bit of a sci-fi element to it, hence the cursed part.
So it's like Assassin's Creed.
Except think demons instead of angels and...
Oh, so fantasy, not sci-fi.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Moving on. Also, now we're into fall, sorry. So that's kind of summer, kind of light. Summers are usually light anyway, but some big fall titles have already been announced. Up first, Resistance 3 on the PlayStation 3. They're dropping that 8-player online co-op mode and going back to the game's original 2-player offline co-op mode, but also adding the ability to do it online. They've actually built the story this time around, two characters, so that's pretty cool. Lord of the Rings War in the North, PS3, 360, and PC. Right now has a date of August 1st. I guess that's technically summer. But that's one of those fluid dates. But players can choose a dwarf, human, or elf, and it's action RPG, blah, 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 blah. You know the story.
I don't.
Well, look it up. That's what the site's for.
I hear there's a lot of walking, and then you throw a ring in a volcano.
I think it's prequel. I forget where it takes. I think it takes place between the Two Towers and Return of the King. Is actually the timeline of it.
We'll find. The important thing is that this is made by Snowblind, and they made awesome games.
Exactly.
Yes.
Moving on, Rage for PC, 360, and PS3. This is out in September. Still don't know details of the co-op mode. Actually, we still don't even know if it still has a co-op mode, because it's been a while since they mentioned it. But it was supposed to originally have some kind of unique co-op mode for two players. Brink, this fall, PS3. Oh, no, actually, this is wrong. They just said that Brink is coming out this spring now. And that's 360, PS3, and PC. That has 8-player online co-op. So yeah, so that's another one to go in the spring category. And moving on, Gears of War 3 this fall, which is, I don't know, it's looking to shape up to be the biggest co-op game of this year. You have 2-player offline co-op through the campaign. You have 4-player online co-op through the campaign. And then there's 5-player co-op horde mode and 5-player co-op beast mode. So that's a co-op in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it should have BYOB co-op. And
just for that,
one of your players should just, you know, every now and then be able to hand Dom a picture of his wife.
What if instead, like, the person controls, like, Dom's chainsaw? Well, the player controls the body of Dom.
Player controls the body, someone controls the head.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that would be
good, right?
I don't know how I feel about that. That would be kind of weird.
Let's move on. Let's wrap it
okay.
up. Just two more titles. A few more titles. Ratchet and Clank All for One is out this fall. It's a PlayStation 3 title. 4-player offline co-op, 4-player online co-op. That one looks pretty swanky. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception, 2-player offline co-op and 3-player online co-op. Nope, it's not going to have any story-based co-op, but it will have the returning co-op modes of the previous Uncharted game. And wrapping some things up, games that don't have dates, Battle Block Theater, which is the Behemoth's next game, comes out in Xbox Live Arcade sometime this year. Inversion is a game we haven't heard much about. It's the one that has the play on gravity. It's the same people that did Time...
Can't think Time of Shift?
Game. Yes, Time Shift. Thank you. And so, yeah, that has 2-player online co-op. And everyone's favorite game, this was in last year's preview, Aliens Colonial Marines. 360, PS3, and PC. 4-player online co-op. Will we see it this year? Randy Pitchford didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. Basically, I think there's a story said that it's not coming out to 2012, and Randy Pitchford's like, whoa, 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 I didn't say that. So, maybe.
I didn't say it yet.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. But, hey, for, you know, it being January, and us having that list already of titles of coming out this year, it's a pretty big list, you know?
It is.
All right. Okay, so let's talk about some upcoming co-op releases. On the 25th, we have Two Worlds 2 on PC, 360, and PS3. And also on the 25th, we have Lord of Arcana on the PSP. And then the following week, on February the 2nd, Bionic Commando Mustache Rearmed. And that's on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. Had a busy few weeks on the site. We had a bunch of reviews. Microbot on Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network. Little Big Planet 2 on the PS3. We had our Beyond Co-op reviews where we covered Majin and the Forgotten Kingdom, Rascals, Splatterhouse, Marvel Pinball, Kung Fu Live, Infinity Blade, and Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam. We also had a review of Dead Rising 2 Case West on Xbox Live Arcade, and Eat Them on PlayStation Network. Mark posted up a great co-op classics today with Ninja Baseball Batman and Wizard of War. It's the video series, so you get to see those games in action. Ninja Baseball Batman looks amazing. We had a Battlefield report for Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam. You just heard the co-op games of 2011 preview, but you should check out our article on it to see the video of it in action. There was an On the Download, which featured micro games or Epic Games, which are... Let me try that again. On the Download, Micro Epic, which was Epic Games in small packages. So I think last episode I promised that I would switch this up. So we're going to talk about voicemail first. You can leave us a voicemail, you know, and you can ask us questions and you can tell us how awesome we are, or you could tell us something that's bothering you. 646-926-6748. I'd love to get voicemail from you and hear what's going on in your co-op world. But that's not all. You got to buy our shirts from Split Reason.
You do. Because I'm wearing one right now. They're really comfortable.
Sweet. And they're selling out, so get them while you can. All you got to do is visit splitreason.com/cooptivist. Listening to us on iTunes, you can leave us some feedback. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimist without the dash. I believe that's it. We made podcasts.